You are listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bertie Corbett, pleased to be joined on the women's side. We have from the Big Red of Cornell, Izzy Daniels. She's a senior, and she's on a pretty good roll right now. Izzy, welcome to the show. As I bring you in, I look at what you've been doing and just off the charts with your offensive production. I merely hope that part of it can rub off on me and affect the rest of my day and my week. And it's probably not going to happen, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. So welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Very appreciative to have you on. The Big Red of Cornell have been rolling, and you have had some great offensive production. I'm going to give you an opportunity right here off the bat, and if I have to report you, I will, to give a little bit of love and a little bit of a shout-out to your line mates. I mean, obviously, it's all happening for you on the offensive side, productive. You're getting great opportunities. What about the overused word of chemistry with you and your line mates and how you seem to be functioning at such a high level right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, Lily and I, people may not know this, but we've been playing together since high school. So she's been my centerman now, 8 seasons total, dating back to our days in high school. So we obviously built a lot of chemistry up there, and then it's translated to college. And we've played with a lot of different people as our third. And this year, obviously, Katie's filled in nicely on our line. She's provided a little bit of grit and speed and some intensity. And so far, it's been going well for all three of us. But yeah, obviously, I couldn't be doing anything I'm doing on the ice without them and the rest of my teammates and our coaching staff. So just fortunate to be in the position I am.
Yeah, and of course, you go back to Minnesota, Minneapolis. I have some familiarity just because I'm old and I've been around for a long time. Nothing to be proud of. With the Blake School, I cover Boston University. We had a goalie from the Blake School back, was actually a Hobey Baker finalist, John Curry. I don't know if you know that name, but he played at the Blake School. He was a BU goalie back 06, 07, around that time. And I can remember a quarterback, I cover Harvard football, Liam O'Hagan came from the Blake School. So pretty good athletic reputation. I know the name comes up a lot and reference to a lot of athletes that go on from there to the college ranks. So you're in good company.
Yeah, obviously, coming from a school like Blake, it's not only a good athletic school, it's a good academic school. So I think it prepared me well, both to succeed at Cornell as a student and as an athlete. So I was lucky to go to such a great place like Blake.
I'm glad you raced to the defense academically of the Blake School. I'll put that on your permanent record, Izzy. I wasn't implying or denigrating the Blake School as an academic institution. I was just highlighting their athletic accomplishments, but I sensed your defense there, and I certainly don't blame you. I applaud that, particularly with the fact that you're talking to us from the library during finals right now, so you're making that sacrifice.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No question. Well, talk about the Blake School here for a moment. I don't think you could have done much more, I guess, maybe if you won more state championships, but you were two-time state championship in Minnesota. You were a two-time MVP, three-time All-Conference, two-time All-State, and I always love this designation. We've never done it in Massachusetts. I'm a Boston guy, probably tell from the accent, but I just don't know why we've never emulated. I mean, you think of Mass and you think of Minnesota, the two greatest hockey states. I've always been, why don't we have a Mr. Hockey and a Ms. Hockey? You were a finalist. I've always loved to talk to somebody that was a finalist for that award, but you were a Ms. Hockey finalist for the state. That's quite an honor.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool thing they do in Minnesota. Obviously, on the men's and women's side, each year they nominate, the top players in the state to be up for this award. And it's really cool. If you're named a finalist, you get to go down to Xcel Energy Center for around the state tournament, and they do a whole banquet. They have the finalists up there as a panel, and they have a host, and they go through a whole thing to honor you. It's really cool. And it's a great tradition, one of many great traditions, I think, of Minnesota, and especially Minnesota high school hockey. And yeah, it was a really proud moment in my career, and I was honored to be announced a finalist as a senior.
You mentioned really cool, and of course, well, you know, it's Minnesota. Of course, it's really cool. It's freezing, you know, it's that usually, which was certainly is good for the game of hockey. You mentioned about the state tournament. And I'm curious because I'm a little less experienced in talking to people on the women's side. Is it as big an event on the women's side as it is, or is it approaching that? I mean, it's been on the men's side now for decades. there's nothing. The world stops for the Minnesota State high school hockey. But on the women's side, as the women's game has grown, has it really become a big prominent event there also?
I mean, it's obviously not as big as the men, boys state tournament. Yeah. They sell out the X, but there's been a lot of rumblings recently. I've been reading articles about them wanting to move the women's state tournament to Ritter Arena so they can have a more, a better atmosphere. And I think from a player's perspective, I think if you ask a lot of people, they would say that they don't want it moved because the opportunity to play at the XL with all the amenities, they set up a great like player's lounge. They got ping pong, all the stuff set up just as they do for the guys. And just having that experience of playing at the X and kind of feeling like you're a pro for that weekend, I think would take away from what the state tournament's all about. So obviously I loved playing at the X those 2 years. I think those are some of the best memories I can think of when it comes to my hockey memories. And so I would definitely say that they should keep it at the X. And I think it's grown even since I've been in high school. Obviously there's single A and double A, and I think the double A championships have been getting bigger and bigger crowds every year. I think they almost filled the lower bowl last year. So I think that it's continuing to grow, and I definitely wanted to stay at the X. And I think selfishly all of us players, you know, no matter if we can't sell it out, it's just the experience playing in NHL rink and, you know, being around NHL guys and stuff is just really cool.
No doubt about that. No reason to send it to Dinky Town, is he, right? Keep it out of Dinky Town.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'll have a poster made. You can say, keep the women's state tournament out of Dinky Town. There's no reason to do it.
Okay? I'll get behind you on that.
All right. I love Dinky Town, though, by the way. I've had a lot of great memories there. Stubborn Herbs, one of my favorite hockey bars. I don't know if you know Stubborn Herbs, but over in Dinky Town. Anyway, as far as coming all the way across country, essentially, what about the decision to come to Cornell and recruiting and options that you had and why that seemed to be the best place for you?
Yeah, I think I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I did know for sure I wanted to get away from home. I've been a kind of a homebody my whole life, and I was, I was scared a little bit to move away from home, but I knew it was a step I wanted to take to challenge myself as an individual. And it was a big step for sure. But the recruiting process, Cornell was the first school to actually reach out to me and kind of blew them off initially. I wasn't really interested. okay. So I ghosted them for about a few years, and then they came calling again, and I said, I'll give it a shot. And I came here and I visited and I absolutely loved it. The culture, the people I've met, it was something that I knew I wanted to be a part of. And even all those years ago, I'm still extremely happy with my decision and couldn't imagine myself anywhere else. But it was definitely a big adjustment coming all the way out to Ithaca from Minnesota. I was definitely very homesick at first, but now this is like my second home. So yeah, really happy with how it turned out.
I appreciate your candor. First of all, I wanted to get away from home. Your parents will watch this interview. I'm sure that they'll be quite happy about that. And then of course, Cornell, you treated Cornell. You said, I blew them off. It was like, you know, no, sorry, not interested. Saturday night's not going to work. I got to wash my hair, whatever. No, but you ghosted them for a few years and they came back. You got to admire Cornell with Coach Darrow and the persistency of the program to come after you again and make sure that they brought you to Ithaca.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how things work out. It's like everyone has a wacky recruiting story or something like that. And it was actually Coach Jackson, who's no longer here anymore. He came over from a different program who I've been talking to, and he kind of got me back on the Cornell train and got me out for a visit. And thank goodness he did. So. Yeah, really happy about how it turned out. Like I said,
Was it a package with you? I got to take my center with me. And she already committed, or how did that work out with Liz?
Yeah, no, I mean, we didn't really talk much about a recruiting process. It was totally separate. But then once we were getting down to, you know, kind of making our decision, we started talking and we discovered that we were both interested in the same schools, but it was definitely not a factor of, you know, if I go here, you'll go here and stuff like that. It just worked out. We actually committed within a same week of each other. So it was really, I guess it did end up being a package deal, but that was not, it didn't factor into any of our decisions. It worked out that way.
And from a college coaching standpoint, I'm going to venture to say, make a coach really happy. You look at your progression, you have 17 points, freshman, 34 points, then COVID gets involved. And then last year, breakout year with 48 points with Patty Kazmaier nominee. And now, what a snot you're off to right now, just to the just inside those numbers. 15 games, and you're averaging over 2 points a game right now. And has it just been the learning process? I always like to talk to the athletes about, it's not just what's happening now, but have you made changes in terms of getting ready for the season as you've come to understand college hockey, the rigors of, there's no longer season than a college hockey season. I mean, the college hockey season is a long season. Have you made adjustments in terms of your training and what you've done in the off season to get ready for each subsequent year?
Yeah, for sure. I think when I came as a freshman straight from high school, I didn't know what it meant, what it took to be successful at this level. It was a big step in terms of pace and physicality, and I definitely wasn't physically mature or ready to play this style of hockey or this type of hockey. So I think after, took me about, I would say, half a season. After Christmas in my freshman year, I started to feel more comfortable and the game slowed down for me a little bit. And then after going into that off season, I knew that I really had to ramp it up. And that kind of consisted of me staying off the ice more and in the gym more, trying to get faster, trying to get stronger. And I think that's the main part of my game that I've really tried to work on, is just, you know, building more muscle and getting faster. And I think that's really what's excelled my game, is just getting stronger on the ice and just feeling better in general. But I would say, yeah, it was more the off ice stuff that I learned quickly that I wasn't ready to, you know, excel at this level if I didn't get better in those areas.
And as far as the competition in the ECAC, as you've witnessed that during your career, I'm just amazed week in and week out. I mean, I'm looking right now, the top 15 from the Rink Live, you've got seven of the top 15 teams from the ECAC. I mean, what you have to face competitively night in and night out is just amazing. Good news, bad news, I always say. The good news is going to really be a test to prepare you for when you get into playoffs. But, boy, the wear and tear effect of the type of competition is, I'm sure it's a big challenge for you that you've noticed during your career at Cornell.
Yeah. I think even since I've been at Cornell, it's you know, the league has gotten so much deeper. My first year, I think you could probably say there was a good amount of teams who you probably knew were going to be at the bottom of the standings. And now that's for sure not the case. I mean, there's every single game, anybody can beat everybody. I think we've already seen that, and that makes it more fun as a player. Obviously, I prefer playing in the closer games where they're more competitive. I think it just brings out, you know, the best in me as a player and other players too. And just being in that atmosphere of the intense type game, I love that. But you're right. I mean, the wear and tear, it does take a little bit out of you. I say more so mentally, because I feel like I lose years of my life sometimes in some of these tight games and how they go. But I think it's great for women's hockey, great for our league. You know, I love seeing our league excelling, you know, in the standings and stuff. I always, you know, root for our league against other people too. And I want to show that, you know, we're the best league in D1 hockey. So I think it's just great. And like I said, I love competing every weekend. So it's really fun when you can look forward to, you know, a top 10 matchup or whatever every weekend, or, you know, it's going to be a good game. And I think that's also something that has helped our team. You know, you can't take a night off, and we know that. We know we can't go into a game overlooking anybody, or, you know, we'll get beat pretty bad. So that's something that is really changed through my time here at Cornell, but for the better.
And recently you played in a tournament, some exposure for women's hockey down just outside of Washington, down in Virginia, and actually got to play. Did you have a lot of familiar faces on the team from St. Thomas and Minneapolis from back home that were competing against you?
Yeah, I did. It was fun. Obviously being from Minnesota, those games were definitely circled on the calendar when we got our schedule this year. So it was exciting to compete against some of my friends from back home.
And off ice and away from the ice, me being a pretty fanatic lifetime sports fan, you're involved very heavily with stats analytics. And just to give us some insight about that, I'm fascinated to know, both for the NHL and the NFL as a job and a company that you've worked for here over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I've worked for a company called Human Resource Tactics, who uses, you know, analytics and stuff off the field, off the ice, and major professional sports leagues to determine, help teams determine draft stock and draft profile and how to draft players. So it's kind of more like a psychological thing. And then this past summer, I was fortunate enough to intern with the Vikings in their football administration office, which is salary cap negotiation. And that's something that I want to do in the future. I love working, you know, obviously playing team sports my whole life. I really want to be involved in sports in some way and on a team that's competing for that championship. I'm an extremely competitive person. I love to win at everything. So I think being a part of a team, whether that's in operations, is kind of what I want to do and help build the team. You know, I'm also really interested in just the salary cap and finding intricacies to fit certain guys under it and find loopholes and stuff like that. So I have an opportunity to learn all about that this summer, and hopefully that's in my future.
The teams that are the best of that are usually the teams that win, the way things are set up right now. So very important to be able to balance things out to be successful. And it also said other interests, dogs and wake surfing. Not at the same time. That doesn't mean you're out there wake surfing with dogs necessarily. It'd probably be kind of dangerous.
Yeah, you've seen it happen on the odd case though. But I can't say I've got my dog out there. I don't think she would do great. But okay. Yeah, it's a fun activity to do in Minnesota in the summer for sure.
Okay, you got a lot of lakes there. About 10,000 of them, I guess, right?
Yep.
Give or take two or three lakes if you believe the license plate, I guess, right?
Yep. Exactly.
There you go. And currently, after the weekend, and you got a break right now. I don't think you're in action again until after the first of the year, until you play again?
Yep, January 5th, 6th, I believe, is our first weekend.
Clarkson, yeah, that's right. You left Clarkson, St. Lawrence will be upcoming. So for the break, you had an opportunity, hopefully, to go back to Minnesota and relax a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to that. Seeing my family, just relaxing for the holidays and recharging for the second half. Love the holiday season back home with my family. So it should be fun and restful.
Well, best of luck with that. And happy holidays to you and your family, Izzy. And look forward to the second half of the year.
Thanks for having me. You too.
Izzy Daniel, our guest here on Inside ECAC Hockey, Cornell Senior from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we thank her for joining us here this week. Welcome back to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined by Colin Graff. Colin from the Quinnipiac Bobcats, and he's been off to quite a start. Once he got started this season after an injury situation that occurred in the opening game of the year, since then it's been pretty much an even 2 points a game in the 10 games, 20 points, and leading the offense once again for the Bobcats, the defending national champions. Colin, welcome to the show. Great to have you here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a good time.
Coming off a solid weekend, the Bobcats taking care of business against Capital District opponents last weekend with RPI and Union. And you had a particularly big night against RPI with a 1-3-4 line. The line seems to be clicking. The proverbial chemistry seems to be in place. Give us a little bit of perspective about you, your line mates, and how it's all been fitting into place right now.
Yeah, it's been good. I think that starting last year, around November when we were first put together, it really clicked. I think that we can all pass, we can all shoot, so we're multi-dimensional. I'd say we're not very one-dimensional, so it's tough to game plan. And you know, we have good chemistry out there, so it makes it easy to play with those guys. We sort of know where we're going to be,
and those guys of course are
Jake Quillen and Sam Lipkin.
That's right. I won't report you that you didn't mention their names. I have to prod you. Okay. I'll leave that out. Okay. They'll figure it out on their own though, and they'll probably take it out on you in practice. But but you guys have been, and I saw you recently because I broadcast the BU game. So saw you very recently, just about a week or 2 weeks ago, and know that you guys are right back on a very high level. Your decision was a rather momentous one. You started at Union. You transferred on from Union a year ago and won the national championship and figure prominently. What about the situation as far as the decision to transfer? And also, was Quinnipiac one of the teams that was originally on the radar screen in the recruiting process when you were with the Junior Bruins program?
The first answer, no, they were not originally. It was just three schools back when I was at Junior Bruin. And then for the reason I transferred, it was I committed under the coach, Rick Bennett, and he unfortunately had to step down in the middle of the year. So that sort of led to a there was some uncertainty, I'd say, about what direction the program was going in. So I think it was best for my career and for me, my family to go in the portal. And then once I went in the portal, then that's when Quinnipiac reached out, and it just seemed like it'd be a really good fit because the winning culture here is huge and the opportunity was there. So it was a pretty easy decision once I went in.
And obviously great success that you enjoyed last year, not carrying over to this year. Coincidentally, I was talking earlier on Inside Hockey East to one of your former teammates from way back, a guy by the name of Cam Lund. Does that name ring a bell with you at all?
Yeah, Junior Bruins, yeah, he's a real good player.
Indeed. And then another name from your past who you competed against about a week or so ago, a guy that I see on display frequently, and you probably would like to remember, you'd probably like to forget that you ever know him, is Ryan Green.
Well, the BU game, yeah. That was he had a good game.
Yeah, he kind of haunted you, another guy passed there, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
We see him again.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, that may happen. I'm all for it. Hopefully we will see you again. That means it's going to be a good year for everybody if we see you again. Yeah. No question. Yeah. No doubt. And last year, I mean, the accomplishments were many for the resume. Just a little snapshot there. Sophomore, first team All-American. You made the Hobie top 10. You tied the all-time record at Quinnipiac with 59 points in a season. And that was you also were first in the NCAA in assists with 38. Once again, fit in very well with your line mates there. But I also got to make note, a famous coach that I was with for 40 years, Jack Parker, used to talk about the season and the reason. Hey, you're also an all-academic, all-American and all-academic. What are you studying there? You got to be studying something.
Yeah. I'm a finance major. It's good. We got a lot of guys on the team. So my whole class is finance majors. So we take classes together. But it's good to bond away from the rink, I'd say. Just builds the chemistry.
Well, now I'm even more impressed. We're all academic in finance. This wasn't like phys ed or something, you know? So
No. That's just some other schools that have some crazy things like that.
Yeah, that shall remain nameless, Colin. We won't mention any of them, okay?
No.
Right. Yeah, we'll keep it real here. Yeah. And of course, I remember very well covering the national championship last year. You got the before we talk about the championship game, you took Michigan down and huge effort against Michigan. You had two assists in that game, including an assist on the game winner. Momentum that you think back to in Tampa, it just seems like you guys were just building and really feeling confident. The way that you handled that game against Michigan, I was so impressed.
Yeah. I think that it started, honestly, in ECAC playoffs when we lost to Colgate, because that was we really wanted to win that ECAC tournament. We haven't. Especially the fifth years, but none of the guys have won that tournament who've been here, who I played with. So we were really looking forward to that. Unfortunately, we lost, but I think that it was really we had a players only meeting after, like, we just basically talked about, like, it's only four games to win a national championship. Like, we're still right there. Like, we're right where we wanted to be. So then we sort of carried that into Bridgeport. And then going into the Michigan game, The Michigan beat Quinnipiac the year before. I wasn't there, but there were like a lot of returners who personally really wanted to beat Michigan. So I think that fueled them a lot. And then I just sort of took the energy and rode with it, I'd say, especially like me and the new guys. And that's how we took it to them.
And then, of course, the Minnesota game will be the stuff of legend in Hampton and beyond. You got the game tying goal with 2:47 left. And then, of course, you ran the play. Tell us about that play. It had a name, almost like I thought I was studying at cover Harvard football. You call the play the jet. You ran it for the game winner. I don't know if you snapped it on one or two. I'm not sure what the cadence was, but you ran it. You ran it pretty effectively there. And I think one of you guys was quoted as saying, geez, it didn't work in practice all that often, but we really needed it. It worked.
Oh, yeah. No, it never worked. I've never seen it work last year, this year. Not one time. It's worked one singular time, but it was at the best time for it to work, I'd say. yeah, it's funny. I don't really, it worked. Like,
yep.
Like if you look back at the game, like I think we run it the first play of the game, like the first in the opening face off in the game, and nothing happens. But then, you know, it just sort of, we got lucky and it went in.
Well, break it down for us here for a minute. Give us a little X and O as to how it's supposed to work and how it did work to, you know, give you the national championship, no less.
Okay, yeah. So we knew that they were going man on man off the draw. So their two wingers would go at R2D, and then their 2D would have R2 wingers and come up, and then the center would be on the center. So me, I'm sort of just a decoy. Sort of just go to the wall, drag that D to the wall with me to make some more room for Sam Lipkin in the middle. And then he comes across to sort of make it uncomfortable on his D, the right D, make him sort of come over to the left side. And then it was all just Lip and Q. Well, obviously, Metz made a great pass on the tape, but then Q beat his guy to the net, and Lip made a great pass. And, you know, one step, and that was it. That was the championship.
Absolutely. So, yeah, with the man-on-man look, you know, if you're confident you can beat your man and draw the attention away, it's going to open up for you. It's a matter of confidence.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, if someone's not paying attention for just 1 second, that could be it.
That's all it takes. And as they say, just the way you drew it up, and it worked.
Yes. So yes.
You know, the Eagles had the Philly special. That was, you know, that was the Hamden special, I guess, is what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. As a Patriot fan, that Philly special is a little haunting right now.
No. That's right. I shouldn't have mentioned that. That's right. We'll call it something else. Yeah, the Bobcats. Okay.
The Patriots won a lot. They won a lot there.
Yeah.
They're down right now, but they'll be back.
That's right. They got no right to complain. As far as your early development, you got on the ice. I guess there was a lot of, shall we say, peer pressure in the neighborhood. You really wanted to get out there. It was about 3 years old. You got up on the blades and you couldn't wait to get down the other end of the rink. You waited until you're about five to get down the other rink and you can start mixing it up a little and get a puck involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Neither of my parents ever played hockey.
Really, figure
skating, like anything major like that. My mom just wanted me to ice skate. And it just so happened that when I was ice skating, like at the other end, there was hockey. And then I just sort of wanted to go do that. So then it took me a while. It was a lot of marching around on the ice, not a lot of skating. A lot of picking up ducks and stuff. I still remember that. And then finally got down to the other end and started to play hockey. And, you know, just been playing ever since. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. See, your parents, they weren't part of the hockey world, but they've reaped the benefits now. And they got a free education to start with, which isn't bad, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're saving them a lot of money. So that's never a bad thing for your parents. I'm sure that they'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
And as part of Nashville draft, you've had the opportunity, I would assume, you've had some development camp. What's that experience been like to give you just a little bit of taste of what the next level is all about?
Yeah. You know, I've been to, after my freshman year, I went to Florida Panthers. And then after my sophomore year, I went to Nashville. And I think that, you know, the first time I went coming from Union, it was a big step because we weren't the best team. So there was a lot higher caliber players at the Florida camp than what I was used to. But I think that I took some lessons from that one and tried to implement them into the year at Quinnipiac last year. I think it helped a lot. And then after the year at Quinnipiac, when I was going to Nashville camp, I think that I really felt more than comfortable, I'd say, at the camp. And I thought that I did well. And I think that, you know, again, keep learning because there's some really high end players there and just keep trying to pick things from their game and try to implement them in my game. That's what I'm sort of trying to do this year.
And I got to ask you, I always say, yeah, you're a hockey player. I got to ask the question, anything in particular? I've known a lot of superstitious hockey players, been around this game a long time and broadcasting BU hockey for almost 40 years. And guys, have got some quirky things. What about you? You got anything? I got to do it before I get on the ice, or I'm going to be nervous about it if I don't do it, anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a superstition or if it's a habit, but I always tie my right skate before my lefts every time. And I'm very like, I'm not going to say I'm like I never mix up my tape jobs on my stick either. It's always the same thing. So I'd say nothing too crazy, but okay. I'd say yes. Usually I put on my right, or I tie my right skate before my left.
Mm-hmm. Keep it consistent. And finally, you mentioned about the pro game, anybody in particular that you watch in the pro game that you take some elements from their game and try to, maybe there's a guy, maybe, or a couple of guys you try to emulate a little bit more than just being a casual fan when you're watching?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, I try to watch a lot as I got older, try to watch more, but as a growing up in Boston as a Bruins fan, as a kid, I think that it's, I still sort of tend to watch Bruins games. And I think that Pasternak's a really good player to learn from. He's same spot on the power play most of the time, really good shooter. Mm-hmm. I think that I've sort of wanted to try to score more goals this year. So I think he's a great player to watch, and how he scores goals, whether it be a one-timer or just how he creates space for himself. So I think that's what I'd say. The guys who I like to watch.
Well, that Bobcat power play has been prolific lately. I don't know if you know the numbers, but 40.7%. You're 11 for your last 27. You're going to win a lot of hockey games if you keep that power play at a high level.
Yeah. You know, it's been good. I think that it helps that Q and Lip are on the power play with me too. So we can build chemistry 5-on-5. We get going 5-on-5, and that carries over to the power play, and we just keep building off each other. So it's nice, good chemistry out there.
And it was great that you mentioned them without me prompting you. You said Q and Lip. So maybe you don't, yeah. maybe you won't get run in practice tomorrow.
No, maybe just like a slash in the back of the legs or something. No, not yeah. Nothing too bad.
Yeah. Just a two hander among friends. It's all part of the game, Carl. There you go. Right.
Yeah.
Well, great start for Quinnipiac at 11-4-1, 7-0-1. You're almost perfect in the league. Non-conference with Long Island coming up, and I'm sure looking forward to that. And the second half of the year to come here, you got a lot to build on. And best of luck. We hope to see you around the rinks again, Carl.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. It was a good time. Nice talk.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm all about having fun. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you. Colin, nice to meet you.
Colin Graf, right winger for the Quinnipiac Bobcats out of Lincoln, Mass., our guest here this week on Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey podcast with Birdie Corbett. Follow ECAC Hockey on social media at ECAC Hockey across all platforms.